More compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, is live and Lansing with Michael Cohen and the Capital City Recap.
Good evening. It is Tuesday. I'm Michael Cohen, producer Mike Peterson. Great to have you on WILS. Tonight, new WikiLeaks information showing that the CIA is able to spy on us using not only our phones and computers, but our television sets. We'll get the details. Also, Vladimir Putin, how did he become the richest man in the world, and what is his real plan for the United States? What does he want to see happening with us? We'll hear from one of the country's top Russia experts, but let's begin with the reaction now to the long-awaited repeal and replace plan planned by House Republicans. They introduced it yesterday. Conservatives already very angry about it, calling it Obamacare Lite and Rhino Care. Diana Frushgott-Roth with us. She is a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, director of the Economics 21 program there, and a former chief economist of the U.S. Department of Labor. Diana, great to have you on WILS.
It's great to be on your show. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, what do you think of the conservative reaction so far, how upset they are about it?
Well, I don't quite understand it. It repealed. We don't have the employer mandate anymore, no individual mandate, no Medicare tax, tax credits, advanceable, refundable tax credits so that people who don't have health insurance can buy rather than putting them on Medicaid. So I think this is a great improvement. No more tanning tax for those of us who like to go tanning. So I think this has a lot going for it.
They're talking about the fact that we're going to be keeping the Cadillac tax in place. Is that correct?
I think that that's in order to get the score of the bill to work out. So I'm not quite sure, but it's certainly gone for about 5 years.
Okay. The other thing I noticed they're upset about is the plan not including the selling of insurance across state lines. How important do you think that would be?
Well, I think that's something that can be added later. This is not a major part. The important thing is that the main framework, the framework of the Affordable Care Act is repealed. The mandate is gone. We have some better way of funding health insurance for people who need it. We're taking people off Medicaid beginning in 2020. So I think these are all vast improvements.
So
it's not perfect, but no bill is perfect. But I think this is certainly better.
So the mandate, the mandate's gone. How are we encouraging people then to get their insurance then?
So we're encouraging them to get it by, if they don't have continuous coverage, then they pay a penalty of 30% higher in their premiums the first year after they have coverage.
That sounds pretty extreme. You think that'll work then?
Well, we need something, because otherwise people are just going to sign up for insurance when they get sick. I mean, it's like being able to sign up for home insurance when your house is on fire.
Okay.
So we need something in order to encourage people to sign up for insurance.
Now, do you think this will be enough?
We can't just say, and with the caveat that pre-existing conditions are covered. So if you're going to cover pre-existing conditions, then you need to have a penalty if people don't sign up. If you're not going to cover pre-existing conditions, the market takes care of it. So what they've done is they've said pre-existing conditions are covered, but you pay a penalty if you are uninsured for more than 63 days.
Now, the problem with it, we weren't getting young people to sign up. Anything in the this new plan indicating that you think we'll get more of them to actually sign up now?
Yes. One reason we weren't getting young people to sign up was that it was expensive for them to do so. The band used to be about 5-1. In other words, older people could not be older people paid about 5 times the amount as young people for their health insurance. But the Affordable Care Act made it 3-1. Older people couldn't be charged more than 3 times as much. So what this does is it brings the band down to 5-1, but says states can waive that. States have permission to waive that.
We're talking to Diana Frushgott-Roth, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. And now, is there anything you don't...
So basically, that's going to lower the price of insurance for young people, basically.
Doing that, okay. And now, are you just 100% supportive of the plan, or is there anything that's that you don't like about it so far?
Well, I think that allowing choice over states would be a good move. Also, making some of the provisions earlier rather than later. So the expansion of the contraction of people on Medicaid is only going to start in 2020. I think it could start in 2018, but that would be an improvement.
Okay. Now, what happens with all those people, by the way, once they lose that Medicare coverage?
No, people who are on Medicaid. So what President Obama did was expand the eligibility of people to get onto Medicaid. That eligibility is expanded the end of 2019. But the people who are on Medicaid stay on Medicaid. Those are grandfathered.
Okay, but the folks that were covered under the expansion, what happens once that is removed?
They will get the tax credit. So they get the tax credit of up to $14,000 a family to enable them to choose health insurance on the market.
Hmm. What do you say to those?
They can just go out and buy their plan, and that is a superior kind of insurance. Data from Oregon suggests that there's not much difference in health outcomes from people who are on Medicaid and people who are uninsured. So we definitely want to move people off of Medicaid onto the main insurance plan so they can get the same kind of plan that you and I can get.
Hmm. Part of the critique of Obamacare was they weren't addressing the actual cost of health care, the fact that it's skyrocketing. Is there anything you think here that'll deal with that?
Yes, there's an expansion of health savings accounts and flexible savings accounts. So people could take their money, put it in a tax-favored account, and do more shopping around, pay for health care more out of these accounts. That means they are more responsive to price. And just as we've seen the price of cosmetic surgery go down and LASIK eye surgery because people do more shopping around, if we have people more accountable in terms of price, then the prices be more transparent, then prices are more likely to go down.
Hmm. Those that wanted to see the Obamacare repealed completely and have more of these provisions simply eliminated, what do you think that would have done?
Well, this is just a House bill, and there were senators who said they wanted to go further. So presumably the Senate is going to come out with a bill that will be different, and then the politicians will talk about it and compromise. Also, I'm sure that the Trump administration will weigh in with what they think that they would prefer.
Yeah, do you think we'll see people losing health care in the process of doing this?
I think under the process, everybody is going to continue to be covered, but in a different way. Yeah. Some people who are on a government program might get tax credits in order to purchase their own health insurance.
They have to have more.
But I think that would be an improvement.
Now, what do you think about that, especially those that are struggling? Do you imagine them being able to effectively do this on their own, find the insurance they need?
I do, because I think that there'll be more competition for the different plans. Mm-hmm. The insurance companies no longer have to come out with an Obama-compliant plan. Mm-hmm. So they have the choice of offering the plans that people want. Another big advantage is employers don't have to provide health insurance or any particular type of insurance. So employers will be able to provide, again, the kind of plans that were banned right after the Affordable Care Act came out.
Now, the effects, we're going to see this. How soon will a lot of this take effect? You say 2020 before Medicaid expansion.
Some of the provisions take place next year in 2018 and some in 2019. And the whole thing would take effect by 2020. But this is just the first bill put out. Undoubtedly, the Senate is going to want to weigh in. President Trump is going to want to weigh in. So as with anything in politics, things are not easy. You don't just produce a bill and have it happen.
Yeah. So you think when it's all said and done with these reforms, we'll be better off with the system than before Obamacare was in place altogether?
We'll be better off than before.
Yeah, pre-Obamacare.
There's definitely more protection in here for some people. And that probably comes at a slightly higher cost. So if you're someone with, say, a pre-existing condition, you are going to definitely be better off. And the tax credits, I think, would allow more competition The increased health savings accounts and flexible savings accounts would make people better off and could lower the cost of health care by encouraging shopping around and competition.
That sounds like a yes, then. We're better off than before than the pre-Obamacare
days? Some people would be better off and some people would be worse.
Who
the people who
here?
Are sick will be better off.
And who's worse
sick
off?
People will be better off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who is worse off, though? Who loses in this?
Well, people who are not sick probably have to pay slightly higher amounts because of companies being required to cover people with pre-existing conditions.
Right. Well, and we're paying more and more each year. There's no stopping that. Diana Ferschgott-Roth, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute and former chief economist at the U.S. Department of Labor. Diana, thank you very much.
It's great to be on your show. Thanks so much.
Great to have you on WILS. Thank you.